14. Antietam. Lee saw many advantages in taking the battle into the north. His army would feed off Maryland and Pennsylvania farms and draw the Yankees away from war-ravaged Virginia during its harvest season. A rebel victory might induce European powers like England and France to finally recognize the Confederacy as a nation. Peace Democrats might gain seats in the upcoming midterm elections, and Lincoln might be forced to sue for peace. So, on September 4th, Lee started his army of 55,000 across the Potomac and toward Frederick, Maryland, 40 miles northwest of Washington, with no solid intelligence on how McClellan would react, just gut instinct that the Union Army was demoralized and its ever-cautious commander would not feel prepared to take the offensive for 3 or 4 weeks. That gave the rebels a window to make their thrust into the north. McClellan moved faster than Lee expected, but with an intelligence operation diminished from what he had during the Peninsula campaign. Deprived of army wagons and horses to transport their equipment, Professor Lowe's balloons languished in Washington. Pinkerton's traveling party included Bangs, Babcock, and 11 other operatives he rushed to send behind enemy lines. He found more than a dozen civilians along the way to serve as guides or messengers. Though McClellan's army enjoyed a far friendlier population in Maryland than in Virginia, spy networks took months to set up, and Maryland's countryside was virgin territory for Pinkerton. His agents had to work on the fly. As a result, Pinkerton contributed little to the intelligence gathering in Maryland, and what he did provide made not much of an impression on his boss. McClellan instead relied on a grab bag of questionable sources that he admitted to Washington gave him only a vague picture of the enemy. A telegraph operator in Hanover, Pennsylvania, reported that more than 100,000 Confederates were near Frederick, double their actual strength. Brigadier General Alfred Pleasanton, McClellan's new cavalry commander, sent out patrols in a widening arc ahead of the Potomac Army to probe for information. McClellan was high on Pleasanton, but he proved to be inept at gathering intelligence and gullible in evaluating what he collected. The cavalry chief also reported that Lee had 100,000 men at Frederick. His source for this most reliable information, as he put it, turned out to be secondhand. A Maryland Unionist eavesdropping on the conversation of a rebel officer who had too much to drink.